two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Another one of Lloyd's classics.
Thanks for making us part of your Tuesday. I'm going to be in San Diego coming up tonight. I'm going to feel like Tim on a beach.
I love it. We just got to keep beating Tim up. But we do get weekly pictures of his exploits.
And he's out.
No, Tim, don't put on the headset. You can't defend yourself right now. You're going to have to wait. So what did Lloyd say?
Oh, I got to read when okay. I got to get to.
I wasn't sure if all of a sudden we were going to throw somebody on because I wanted to kind of go in a direction with you.
Well, before we do that, though, let me tell you about our good friends at ReMedical. Utah's only prescription-owned or physician-prescription. They'll help you out there, too. Physician-owned and operated wellness clinic offering ED treatment. It's discreet, non-invasive, and customized for your needs. ReMedical. Renew, restore, reclaim. Visit ReMedical.com today.
Do you think that the transfer portal is going to save more coaches' jobs? Okay, let me phrase. While you're thinking through this, let me frame why I'm throwing this at you. BYU is a mess right now with their basketball.
Yes.
It's a mess.
They're going through some things.
2-4 in their last six games in the most garbage conference in the entire country.
That's not true.
It's a garbage conference, and I can't stand it, and I can't wait to see it in the BYU's rearview mirror.
The Big West Conference might have something to say about it. Fair enough.
I call this the Big West Coast Conference.
There you go.
That's how bad it is.
Just combine the two.
I'm slightly joking. I know it's got some good teams in it, Santa Clara. And it's a good team. But some of these teams shouldn't be beating BYU. LMU shouldn't be consistently getting wins.
I'm with you.
So as you think through that question that I'm throwing at you, I'm asking because I think Coach Pope is in a little bit of a bind right now. Depending on how this season finishes out, it's a pretty rough look to be going through a stretch like this in your final season of West Coast Conference play, getting ready to go into the Big 12. And so my thought process is, how much do you trust Coach Pope knows the portal and can go get talent out of the portal to make you instantly competitive in the Big 12 so you're not this big, shocking embarrassment playing in the number one conference in the country in college basketball? And I ask that question because I think it applies across the board to football coaches, basketball coaches. Are coaches going to have more of a chance to save their jobs through a transfer portal?
Yes, but I also think there will be more scrutiny on a coach because he can flip his team due to the transfer portal. So let's say, you know, okay, we're talking about BYU here. So Steve Cleveland takes over BYU. They're coming off the 1-25 year. I think the year you, for your first year at BYU, or maybe a year before you got there, miserable year. Justin Whitehour was the only good player on that team. They go 1-25. I hope Justin's listening. And it is rock bottom. It is as bad as it could possibly be for BYU basketball. Steve Cleveland comes in, and the first year they get a little bit better. The second year, I think they go to the NIT, and it takes 3 or 4 years before they get to the NCAA tournament. Now you get coaches that will come into a program that are desolate, and that athletic director is like, all right, here's our collective. Here's the boosters that you need to talk to. You have X amount of roster spots open. Go hit that transfer portal, and you're fixing this thing right now. No 3-4 year plan. I want it fixed, and I want it fixed right now because other teams are doing it.
We're seeing teams do it.
You see teams flipping around just like that. I mean, go to Utah State football. They hit the transfer portal after the 1-5 COVID year. Gary Anderson gets let go. That team is in a bad place, and the very next year, they win a Mountain West Conference title.
It's a pretty quick flip.
People can flip teams very quickly.
After being picked 7th or 8th?
Yeah.
In preseason?
Yeah, next to last in the division. So, yeah, I mean, and just like that, boom, you can fix a team very quickly. And ADs know that. And especially if you're at a school where you feel like you've got a lot of resources. Now, BYU's not Alabama, or BYU's not, you know, Clemson throwing around crazy, silly amounts of money, but they've got a collective and they have ways to provide incentives for guys to come to BYU.
Okay, so there are teams that have maybe an established collective. I know I've talked to you in the past. I can't remember, you had an experience with a different coach somewhere or something where the responsibility fell on them to find the collective or to generate the collective.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, do they put that on the coaches? Is the school actively working on it? Because if you're coming in as a coach, building a collective or putting together a collective, and I don't know what the rules and regulations are on that, if the NCAA is like, oh, you can't be involved as a coach. You can't get boosters and build a collective.
And technically the school's not supposed to be doing it either, but the school can endorse, you know, how Tom Mahomo said this, whatever their collective is, we endorse this one. But if you go letter of the law, schools aren't supposed to be helping build those.
Yeah.
But come on, schools are helping build those. So I have seen it. I've talked to a bunch of different ADs. I've talked to a bunch of different coaches. There's some schools that, the school will work with the collective and help build it and provide, not provide resources, but endorse it. And then I've heard some schools where the coaches are like, hey, if you need a collective, you better go out and find a booster and you go build it. And coaches have taken it under their umbrella to say, okay, well, my administration isn't moving pretty quick right now, so I'm going to go out and do my own thing and help build something. So I've seen it go multiple ways.
So I think it's an intriguing conversation because I think it's going to change some of the landscape of hiring coaches. Because if it was Scott Girard University and I'm over here at Hans Olsen University and I'm playing well or coaching well and you want to bring me over, I'm saying, what's your collective look like?
Yeah.
Because I think that that's my insurance policy.
Yeah.
Because if I've got to go to the portal because I had a couple of bad recruiting moments and I've got to go find the guys that can make a difference, I need to have a very deep and competitive collective. So I'm just going to use the example of what's happening at BYU and where Coach Pope is right now. They better have a really deep collective and they better have some talent in sight and they better have some ideas of what they're going to do, because what's happening right now in West Coast Conference play, you move this into Big 12 play next year and Coach Pope will be done in a year. He's gone. So, and I think the world of Coach Pope. I don't want him to be gone.
100%.
I think his energy, and I think his family, and I think his morals, and I think everything that he brings to the table, I think it's great for BYU. But I'm looking at a guy that's he's kind of writing his future right now. But There's one saving grace. There's one. Because if I looked at this roster, Scotty, and said, oh, he's got to play with this roster next year, I'm telling you, he's gone. He is gone.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have to play with this roster next year. The one saving grace is he's got the transfer portal there, just sitting there with, it's going to have able bodies in it. And how does he do with it? And what type of collective does he have to back that he can go get one of these big-time players or two? Because in the world of basketball, it takes one or two.
Yeah.
You go get one or two, and it changes your stars.
If you get one, you're great. If you find a legitimate NBA player on your team, you'll challenge for a conference title. You get two or three, and then you're talking about a deep run in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. You go find a Namish Keita in that portal, and it changes. It can change the direction for BYU. To a certain extent, I get it. You're taking a jump in competition. But that question kind of loomed on my head this morning when I was thinking about Coach Pope's current situation and how difficult it's going to be to make the jump. And if he's got the resources or the vision of what his game plan is and what pieces fit the game plan, and can he go get them in the portal? I think there's a couple of pieces, two or three, that you can keep on the roster and keep rocking and rolling with and keep it developing. But this team is undersized. They're being out-rebounded now.
Can't shoot the three-ball lick. One of the worst three-point shooting teams in the country.
Absolutely struggling with the three-ball.
Yeah. And again, we're using BYU as an example, and I don't know what those off-season conversations are going to look like, but we talk about NIL is something that's, and these collectives as being something that's helpful for these kids, and it is. You're a kid, and you're playing great basketball or great football, and you're going to get some money in your pocket from NIL opportunities. But also know that if you're part of a team that's not doing well, a coach is going to tell you to hit the bricks. You're out. I got to find a way to save my job, and you are not doing anything to save my job. You're hurting my team, and you're out. So I'm going to go help you find another place to play. You can go on Twitter and say, I'm entering the transfer portal, and that being said, and after long conversations with my family, you can save face and say you're entering the portal, but make no mistake, all these kids that are hitting the portal, a good 40 to 50% of them are being told to hit the portal because they got to make room for other transfer portal kids that can come in and help out.
It's happening so much more than it ever has, and you're right. I think a lot of us look at it and think, why is there 4,000 players in the transfer portal? Why would you leave a scholarship and jump into the portal? Well, I think now you're getting coaches that are saying, if we can find a team, we'll get you going. But just understand, we're not gonna renew the scholarship.
Yep.
It used to be, hey, we'll renew it, but you're not going to play.
Yep.
But I've got to imagine that. There's conversations now of, we're just not going to renew that scholarship. So jump in there and go see what you can find.
Yeah. And we'll make some phone calls for you and try to help you out.
It is a very sad side effect of what we're seeing. I tell you, I have one of the things I'm seeing more now than I've seen in the past, and it would be good to maybe have some of these guys that are a little more closely related to high school recruiting maybe jump on and talk about this. And I don't know, maybe Jake Hatch has seen it more. But I'm also seeing universities evaluate talent, offer a kid as a sophomore, continue to keep that offer good through a junior year. Going into the senior season, they see what they've got. They know that that kid's decent. But now they're telling the kid that has already verbally committed.
Yeah.
That has already put the hat on and verbally committed. Now they're telling that kid, hey, we don't have that room.
Yeah.
Even though he's verbally committed.
Yep.
And I'm seeing that. I'm acting like I've got this big sample size. I really know of three examples of that. But I have not known of any previous. And this was over the last 2 years. And one of them is over the last 3 years, one of them is one of my very good friend's sons. And then it comes across strange to people when that kid who'd verbally committed to that university puts out a post and says, I'm decommitting and I'm opening up my recruitment again. And then a fan base is like, oh man. When in reality, behind the scenes, there's a conversation of, we don't watch anymore.
Yeah. We've recruited over the top of you even before you even signed here.
So I think that that's a side effect too. Yeah. I think we're just seeing the portal is affecting that now too, because scholarships are being pulled towards portal players and the kid that's verbally committed and written off the other schools.
Yeah.
Has already called the other three or four coaches that were hot on the trail. And in the final four was like, hey, I'm committed to such and such school. It is creating this really bizarre mess. And now you've got kids that are forced into the portal. But as a coach, I am now committed. I have to win. Otherwise, I'm gone in a year.
Yeah. You can't.
So I'm sorry, son.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what it all boils down to, is that everybody's out for themselves.
Yeah.
Right? There's no loyalty. And this is not a world that's ever built before for loyalty anyway, but it really has gotten flushed down the toilet. If I'm a coach, I'm all about, I have to win. I don't care. My AD is going to send out how great and excited he is about my graduation rates and all that other stuff. But at the end of the day, graduation rates aren't going to save my job. It's
not
going to
even
be win.
Close.
Nobody really cares about that.
Nope.
You can talk about it all you want. You can send out all the
social media
posts. Doesn't matter, lick. It's about wins. And if I'm a coach and I'm like, well, I know this kid's been committed to us and he's turned down a bunch of trips and he wants to be here, but we have a chance to get this guy at the same position and we have him rated way higher than that guy, we got to cut him loose.
Well, and I can tell you just a separate evolution to this. There's going to be another evolution of some of the better recruits coming in with the collective and coming in with the money. Number one, guaranteeing me that money. And number two, guaranteeing my scholarship for 5 years. I'm going to get guaranteed money and I'm going to get a guaranteed scholarship. Are you willing to do that? Well, no, we're not here. Okay, well, university so-and-so down the street, they're guaranteeing me that.
Yeah.
And now as a recruit that's stepping onto a campus, if I'm not stepping onto a campus with a five-year guarantee and a NIL guarantee or a collective guarantee, and I'm not saying every recruit's going to have that negotiating capability, but I'm going to take that guarantee potentially from a group of five school, knowing that, okay, I've got a bit of money and I got a 5-year commitment to a power five school that's not committing to anything.
Yeah.
You're not going to commit to any collective money, any NIL money, or you're going to keep me on a 1-year renewal for my scholarship. I don't know if I can do that because of what we're seeing.
Yeah. If I'm the school, though, and if I have a kid that says, I want that NIL money guaranteed and I want a 5-year guaranteed scholarship, and I will say, if the kid's good enough, I'll be like, done.
Done.
However, you are guaranteeing me that you will give me your 3 years before you're eligible to the NFL. You will not hit the transfer portal, or you will pay back all of that money that we gave you in that collective.
Right. And expecting a commitment there.
Because, you know, if you want me to commit to you fully, then you've got to commit to me fully.
Yeah, the coach, and I don't know if, that would probably be between the coach and the kid. I don't know if the school gets involved on that.
But, I don't either.
Because in the coach's mind, he's like, if I'm here, you're here.
Yeah.
If I'm committing that kind of money to you, then if you're here, I'm here. If I leave, fine. Go do what you got to do.
Yeah. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Tim's hanging out with us. We're live here at RGS Exteriors. We'd love for you to stop by and say hi, but more importantly, we just want you to call and get on the books and have somebody come out to your house. It doesn't cost you a dime to have somebody come out and give you a bid on some of the work that you can do.
Nope, that's right. We're just here to all that services are free, right? We just want to see if we're a fit. Because look, we may not be a fit, and that's okay. And if we're not, we'll get you to somebody that is. But if you are, we'd love to do business and help each other out.
You know, there's... I'm going to go a hypothetical here. Okay, strictly hypothetical. Let's say you're in, you know, in your mind, you're thinking, okay, 2 or 3 years from now, we're going to do some stuff to our house, but we're not quite ready for it yet. And then you have a child who gets engaged and says he wants to have the ceremony in your backyard and in your house, and you're thinking, oh boy, I wasn't really planning on that right now. I need a quick fix. I need a paint job. I need the paint or the brick painted. I need this and this and this. You guys can swoop in and help people out, right?
Believe it or not, that's happened a time or two.
Yeah.
We've had a few of those weddings. Those, oh, shoot, we're getting a wedding in the backyard. How soon can you get this done for us?
Yeah.
So
you've actually had that conversation, huh?
Well, we may have to talk with a hypothetical person more here for fucked up, see what we can do to help out. But no, but look, that's the reality. It happens. And I'm going to be transparent with our listeners as we can. We've had, believe it or not, December, such good weather. We blew through our backlog that normally we have that keeps us kind of through January and February. So we've hit a little bit of a slow period where we can literally jump on projects. So if a customer wants to sign a contract and get going on it, we literally could be on it within weeks. And if it's gutters, within days. We're literally selling jobs and getting them done within the next day or two right now. So right now, wow. If you're in a hurry to get stuff done, now is the time. Now, come March, that's going to change, and our backlog will grow dramatically. But if it's something that you have a need and you think you want to do it, what we would recommend is get it done today for two reasons. One, because our salesmen are going to discount a little bit right now because we need the work. A. B. The January or March 1st, we got an increase coming on Hardy. So if you're going to do any Hardy project, we got an increase coming. And so between those two things, now it's going to literally be the best pricing that we've done in a long, long time as far as discounting. And so that. And then the second thing is we keep our crews going. We've got the best team we've ever assembled right now as far as our installers, and we don't want to lose them. And so we want to keep them busy. So anything we can do to keep them working and keep them going hungry so they don't go hungry is what we got to do. So whether it's gutters, the heat tape like we talked about before, melting the snow and ice, or the siding, whatever it is, we just want to make it happen.
So you, the consumer, has got some leverage right now.
Yes. Right. I mean, I love that we are always honest and open with each other, and it's the tide has switched.
Yeah.
You know, before it was the contractors. Well, let me back up. Before it was the installers had all the power, right? We as a contractor had a little bit of power, but it was all the installers. Well, that's changed. We literally probably have 5 or 6 people per day coming to our office looking for work. Hmm. And so that tide's turned.
Yeah.
The work has slowed down a little bit. Now, our guys are working every day, and we're very grateful, and we're very blessed to be able to have that. But yes, to your point, the tide's turned a little bit, and the consumers have a little bit more power. Now comes a question, are prices going to go down? No. Prices aren't going to go down. They're not going to go down in the next 3 months. They're not going to go down in the next 6 months. Whatever price adjustments was going to happen has happened. Now we're going to start seeing the increases again come forward. We already know there's one coming in March.
You're talking about product?
Product.
Yeah.
Yeah. Correct. Yes, product, right? The adjustments have been made. Because the thing is we do the exteriors. We're at the back end of the projects on the new construction side of things. Well, the slowdown started happening, believe it or not, in July. And that's when the new construction slowed down. That's when the interest rates went up. So the new construction and the contractors that were building new homes started slowing down then. But it didn't hit till, you know, October, November before the end guys saw. Well, that's been done and happened 3 months ago. And so all the price corrections in our markets happened. Lumber's come down dramatically. So literally now is the time. There's really not a better time than right now. Maybe than ever in the near future because of what's happening.
801-280-3110. Call that number right now. Get on the books. 801-280-3110. It's RGS Exteriors right here on The Zone.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
Sean O'Connell, OC, SiriusXM, Pac-12 Today. What has been the biggest turnaround for the Pac-12 that we suddenly have 5 or 6 teams that are contenders?
Well, it's the transfer portal. As much as people like to complain about it and deride the way that kids don't want to stick around in one place and develop, if you're a fan of Pac-12 football, you should love the transfer portal, because in one off-season cycle, we didn't know if USC was going to be back. That experiment worked. Lincoln Riley got that thing turned around very rapidly. Kalen DeBoer did an incredible job. The transfer portal has benefited the Pac-12 conference more than it has benefited any other Power 5 conference.
It's Unrivaled. Afternoons from 3 to 6, presented by G2 Cheat Bars. Perfect for anyone who needs a quick, tasty, and nutritious boost. The 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
a stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
It's your Jazz at 30 update. As you just heard there, Will Hardy fired up about that big win last night in the stretch of home games as the Jazz were able to just rough up Charlotte last night, 120 to 102. Time for the good, the bad, the ugly right here on the zone. Before we do that, Hans, hey, we can make it part of our good. Let's give away some Jazz tickets. Jazz and Mavericks coming up. You want tickets? 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-ZONE. Get a chance to see Luka up close and in person. There you go, 801-575-ZONE. If you cannot win tickets this hour, just wait. We'll give away another pair next hour.
So this is a good to me. I don't know if it's a good to you. It might not be. It might not be good to a lot of people out there. But we know who's going to be singing our national anthem and who will be singing America the Beautiful for the upcoming Super Bowl.
Right on.
So, national anthem. Actually, I'll start with America the Beautiful first. Babyface is singing America the Beautiful. R&B singer from the 90s, kind of back in our high school days.
You can do better than that.
Trying to remember some of his better hits. Lloyd, what are some of Babyface's better hits? Nobody Knows It But Me. Was that his?
Oh, is that Babyface? That's a great song.
Nobody Knows It But Me.
I didn't think that was Babyface, though.
I might be wrong. Babyface had some hits, though.
Let's see. Not a lot of Every Time I Close My Eyes.
Apparently, I don't even have any Babyface in the system.
Put that up. Oh, yeah. This was.
Yep. All right.
This was a hot tune back in our high school days. I could see you in the back of that little Mazda Miata.
It was a Plymouth Horizon, but yeah.
Mazda Miata?
Listen, Chantel.
Chantel.
I've got so many things I want to say to you.
I knew a couple Chantels. Yeah, nope, we're shutting that music down right now.
Tell me, though, that's a good song.
Yeah, I don't know what Babyface has been up to. I think you could have found somebody a little bit more prominent.
I don't know what he's been
up to.
This
isn't Super Bowl 25. I mean, come on.
But Babyface has got America the Beautiful. I don't know if he's coming out with a new album or, yeah, I don't know. Okay, this is the one I don't know where you're going to stand. Singing our national anthem for this upcoming Super Bowl is country music star Chris Stapleton. Yeah, this guy.
A little Tennessee whiskey.
Yeah.
I don't hate this at all. You know I'm a country music fan. And Stapleton's like old school country, too.
Yes, he is. So you're okay with Stapleton?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Listen to his voice here. He's got a nice, unique voice.
Yeah, I'm down. I'm 1,000% down with this. Now, here's the only thing I care about in terms of the national anthem. I mean, outside of the patriotism and all that. Yeah, okay. But is gambling odds? Is it going to be over under? And what's the line going to be set at? That's the most important thing.
That line is somewhere usually around the 2-minute 30-second mark.
Yep. 210, 215, around there. And a lot of research is going to be done on this, and that's what's always fascinating. If Chris Stapleton has ever sung a national anthem, people are going to dig into it and find it and see how long it went.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. But I like Chris Stapleton. I like Babyface.
I still
don't like the halftime show.
Who's halftime?
It's Rihanna.
Okay, that's a good opportunity to go refill the nachos.
Yeah, it's exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
We can't – look, we're not having last year's – halftime show every time. I mean, we wish we could, and I think it should just be the permanent halftime.
I do too. but include a couple of guys. Like this year, bring Ice Cube and get a couple of the guys together. Like that.
Wait, who did you say is doing halftime?
Rihanna?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, did you say Post Malone anywhere in there?
No.
Is Post Malone doing halftime?
No, he's not a part of it.
Post Malone's like a big part of this like community. Like he's got like a place up in Park City or something. I would have thought he would have been doing something. I don't know.
At the Super Bowl?
Oh, sorry. I got mixed up on what you were talking about. Sorry, I thought you were talking about the All-Star festivities.
No.
Oh, no.
Okay, never mind. I was like, wait, what?
No. I've got to imagine Post Malone's going to be doing things for the All-Star weekend.
I would think so. I got mixed up. I was answering phones, and I just caught part of what you guys were talking about.
Did we give away our tickets?
We did give them away, yes.
Nice. Okay.
It'll be up close and personal with
Luca.
Luca.
I feel like you're making fun of me.
No.
That's okay.
I'm not. If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Be right there seeing Luke just doing his thing.
Here's the thing, man. They're great tickets. And that's a great game.
Yeah.
So be happy that you got them.
Thumb your nose at Luca.
Stop. But I don't like where you're headed.
Oh, I didn't do that. Nope.
Because what you do is you spark something in my mind, and then I go on the attack, and then I'm the one that gets in trouble.
Oh, yes. You are the one that always gets in trouble. Right.
You guys got me in trouble with the whole Ben Anderson thing yesterday.
Whoa. What happened with Ben yesterday?
Oh, because I was endorsing Ben with different aspects of what Ben does well.
That got you in trouble?
Yeah. I mean, sure that it wasn't really great for a lot of things. But.
By the way, Babyface is 64 years old. There's got to be an age limit. Come on. Babyface, too old. That's old man face. That's 64. Geriatric face. We don't need to see that.
He is not that old. There's no way.
He changed his name from Babyface to Wrinkle Face.
Wrinkle Face. Bitter Beer Face.
Bitter Beer Face.
Oh, my gosh.
There's no way Babyface is that old.
I'm looking at Wikipedia.
Is it really? Is he really that old? You can't go by Babyface anymore.
It is the internet, so take it with a grain of salt, but it does say 64 years old.
64 sounds right.
Tell you what, he's holding up pretty good, though.
Oh, yeah. He is. He's always been really handsome. He did a couple collabs with that.
Collabs?
That 100% pure love girl. 100% pure love. And the Don't Break My Heart. Braxton.
Toni Braxton.
Yeah.
Now, Toni Braxton should be singing America the Beautiful.
I actually agree.
Or halftime. I'd take Toni Braxton. Unbreak My Heart.
1,000%. But Toni Braxton's probably 55, 58.
Bring that white dress that she was wearing in that video that got everybody's attention back in the day.
Yeah, she.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Standing up on that tall podium thing.
Yep.
She was incredible. Great voice. That's all we ever heard or were worried about.
That's all I was talking about. All right, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Oh, did you hear this? Tom Brady. This Jim Gray podcast thing.
I can't stand Jim Gray.
I feel like this whole thing's set up, but...
Yeah, 100% set up.
Here's Tom Brady going back and forth with Jim Gray on their podcast, Let's Go. Here's Tom Brady getting upset, I guess, with Jim Gray.
Tom, your last game was on Monday night. We haven't had a chance to talk to you since your season and the Buccaneers season ended. Did you go out and throw the football this week?
Oh, man. I thought about it. Unfortunately not. I did a lot of things with my kids and family and tried to get caught up. Like most probably football players do at the end of a long season. There's a lot of decompression. So I know we use that word a lot, but there is a real crash landing element to all of this. And doing it for as long as I've had, there's no soft landing either. It ends and it's over. And as much as you'd love for, you know, something to be a little softer on the way out, it's just not the reality. So, Tough week for the Bucs, tough week to watch the games. But at the same time, we didn't that won, and the teams that moved on deserve it. And that's why you're still playing now that as you look ahead to even, you know, next weekend's game.
Tom, you're leaving everybody guessing. You've said you'll take your time. Do you have any type of a timetable as to what you might want to do regarding your football career?
Jim, if I knew what I was going to fucking do, I'd have already fucking done it. Okay? I'm taking it a day at a time.
I sense you're antagonized by the question.
You're scratching.
It's only the question scratchy. That everybody wants to hear.
You're scratchy. Scratchy. I appreciate your asking. Thank you.
I can tell.
What does scratchy mean?
I don't know.
Lloyd, do you know what? Is that something the kids are saying now? You're scratchy?
Come on. It's got to be. I'm going to have to Google
that. And here's
that.
The thing. Like, Tom Brady's as old as we are. Like, you can't be throwing around weird terms like that.
Yeah, but Tom wants to be hip. So
Urban Dictionary, scratchy.
No, there's nothing here with scratchy.
Not seeing anything, huh?
No.
Well, I did think that the reaction, if I knew what I was going to do, I would have done it. I think that that's an indicator. This is his podcast. Jim Gray's his co-host. And that's how that podcast.
And why
works.
Jim Gray's doing it? I have no idea.
I don't know either.
I don't know how Jim Gray's.
But I think it's because he'll just take money to say whatever.
Yeah.
And he's a yes man to Tom. So I feel like that had to have been orchestrated before they got on this podcast. Jim had to be on the phone with him. Hey, you know I'm going to ask you. And Tom's like, okay, well, just be ready for my reply. I'm going to kind of come hard at it. Because I think Tom wants to send a message to all of media through his own podcast. Don't ask me. Because if I knew, I'd have done it. And I think that was just a way for him to send that message. Because no national media member at this point is going to ask Tom Brady that after hearing Tom give that reaction, right? So it's a way for him to get everybody off his trail.
It was 1,000% staged. I mean, and I think Tom likes to, because, you know, Tom has this, choir boy kind of image. And I think he likes to, oh, hey, guys, I can use bad language, too.
I can get drunk and throw the Heisman and throw the Lombardi trophy.
And shut up.
Whatever. You're still a Saint Tom. You're Saint Tom.
Everybody goes on.
Hey guys, look at me. I'm seeing the F word.
Hey, look at me.
I'm hard.
I could get a divorce and be a mean dad. No, you can't. You're still a Saint Tom.
And it was Giselle. It wasn't you.
You can split up with Bridget and split up with Giselle. Oh yeah, it probably was Giselle.
You know, Giselle pulled the plug. It wasn't Tom.
Tom, you're not playing this year. Yes, I am. No, you're not. Yes, I am.
What are you going to do about it?
Then you're going to play alone. All right.
Yeah. All right. There's your bad. Let's get the ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
Ugly story here. 15-year-old boy pleaded guilty to attempted robbery in the shooting of Brian Robinson, the Commander's running back, who was shot twice while two teens, both armed with handguns, tried to steal his sports car last summer. Teenager, who's underage, so his name has not been released, appeared in a D.C. Superior courtroom this week, the day before he's scheduled to go on trial. The rookie, of course, Robinson, was shot in the knee and hip while the two teens attempted to steal his Hellcat sports car. Authorities say Robinson was approached while leaving a store with two teens who wanted the vehicle. Brian fled, trying to get to safety, but the 17-year-old chased, and the two wrestled with the teen's gun. At this point, the 15-year-old shot him twice. In addition to the attempted robbery charge, he's also been pled to voluntary manslaughter in a fatal October 3rd shooting of another 15-year-old boy.
Jeez.
Imagine being 15 and having that kind of life.
No. He just, as you mentioned, just pled guilty to manslaughter of a 15-year-old.
Robinson was able to get back to the football field only 46 days after being shot, played in 12 games for the Commanders. Ran the ball 205 times, had 797 yards on the ground and two touchdowns. Pretty good year, considering where he came from.
You know what's scary about this, though? I was looking at the potential sentencing of these two individuals that were involved in this armed robbery. So the 17-year-old pleaded guilty to assault with a dangerous weapon and carrying a weapon without a license. He's going to be held until his 20th birthday. He's getting 3 years for that. That's the one that chased Robinson when he took off. The 15-year-old, the one that shot him, when the two were tussling, the 17-year-old and Robinson were tussling, the 15-year-old could be held in D.C.'s juvenile hall until he's 21.
So just 6 years.
6 years.
No.
And he shot him twice.
And that's on top of already killing another kid.
Yes.
Wow.
So I don't. The system's tough. Yeah. And I don't know if you try them as an adult or I don't know what the rules are, where they're at. I'm glad that Robinson was able to get himself back on the field. And as you mentioned, had an 800-yard season and did some good things for Washington. But he was shot, man, in a tussle, in an armed robbery attempt for his Hellcat, whatever that is.
Yeah. Hell of a vehicle.
It used to be kids would beat you up and try to take your sneakers.
Yeah.
Now they're holding a gun on you trying to take your car.
Trying to take your car.
A 15- and 17-year-old kid.
All right, 150, Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Joined now by Tom McMillan, Lead One CEO.
We talk to coaches, and they tell us things. Crazy, out of control, those types of words with the transfer and the NIL. It's certainly something that they say. What can be done to put them under control while still allowing the principals of giving as much freedom to the student-athlete as possible?
It takes a real crisis sometimes for Congress to act. I have heard from senators and congressmen that they're concerned. There's more awareness of this on the Hill. There's a more ripe environment, if you will, to legislate on the NIL front and to try to bring a national standard to it to make sure that it's not a recruiting inducement or a transfer inducement, but legitimate NIL. I'm optimistic that something can get done in the next year or so.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Hyundai, Utah's number one Hyundai dealer for 16 years in a row on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Go!
It's time to span the globe for the hard-hitting news you care about. Well, not really. But hey, at least we found it interesting. This is Whole World News on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. It's another edition of Whole World News, spanning the globe to find something that hopefully informs, entertains, or at least kills a little bit of time.
So today's is a little bit interesting. We got to go to Oklahoma, Gouda Springs, Oklahoma.
Like the cheese, Gouda?
Uh-huh. Officers were called at about 9:30 in the morning on Saturday, just this Saturday.
All right.
On a shooting on a certain road. So the officers showed up, and what they found was a man who'd been shot, who was unconscious, been shot in his back. And he's laying in now the passenger side of the truck. And there's no other person around. They can't figure out what has just happened. And they start CPR measures. They try to save this man's life. He ends up passing. Well, as they tried to investigate, there was one other thing in that truck, and that was a dog.
Oh, no.
They have now found the dog guilty of shooting his owner and killing it. The dog somehow, Scotty, stepped on the bag that was holding said gun.
Yeah.
And it was loaded and ready. And the dog's foot pulled the trigger, went through the bag, through the back of the chair, and into the man driving and killed him. He was shot and killed by his own dog.
Try not to laugh.
It's too late.
Oh, that's rough. I'm sorry.
Did you have to use rough?
Oh, I didn't mean that. Doggone it. It's too bad. Did he try to nibble on an arm?
No, he didn't try to. No. He wasn't trying to do that, I don't think.
Okay.
No, I think it was just purely an accident.
All right, so let's just say that you're in the need of a new dog, and you want to, you know, rescue a dog.
Yeah.
And you got Homicidal Hal there in the pound. You bring him home, knowing that he's got a little bit of blood in his mouth.
I don't know if he's got blood.
He's got a taste for it now.
Blood on his paw. Yeah, I don't think I hold it against him. I think it's a pretty innocent mistake. I wouldn't leave any loaded guns around him. I know that.
Is that any better than a beaver?
But I wouldn't. But no, I would not hold it against him. I can't believe this, man. You know, this is probably the fourth time you and I have reported on a dog-related murder, where a dog somehow ends up shooting their owner. This is not the first time. I know that. We've talked about this multiple times, haven't we?
I think this has come up, yeah. This has happened.
Yeah. And it's ridiculous. Don't put a loaded gun in your back seat with your dog.
It seems like
we have to start
a pretty simple thing to say, but yeah, apparently that message needs to be out.
Do we have to start putting that on the gun packaging? Do not leave loaded in your back seat while your dog
is there.
Is back there.
Yeah.
It's terrible. These tragedies have to continue to happen.
You imagine, though, like you all of a sudden, you wake up and you got the wings behind you and you're looking at like St. Peter and you're like, he's like, hey, bro, you're dead. He's like, was it a drunk driver? Like, did I get hit by a train? Like, what happened? And like, hey, you know Fido, right? It's like, oh, yeah, I love that dog. Yeah, he shot you.
He got you.
It's like my dog shot me. That's the way I went. Is it a dog? I was killed by the dog.
That'd be pretty tough. Clinto tweets in. He said, cats will never shoot you.
No, they'll just suffocate you in your sleep.
They'll just try to strangle you in your sleep.
Is a cat a better pet option because it will never shoot you? I'll bet there's been a cat-related shooting in the past.
If a cat could figure it out, it'd do it.
Yeah, it would.
All right. Tim's hanging out with us from RGS Exteriors. Tim, you know, the interesting thing, the world you're living in, you know, you guys get into a groove and you kind of know what customers want. Then Chip and JoJo put out an episode where everybody's painting their house purple. And you're like, all right, well, we got to have to figure this out because trends can change just like that.
Yeah, they do. They not only do they change every day, but it's like, and then they're tweaked, right? And so something's there. Or like we were talking in the first segment, I'm heading to Vegas next week to go look at the builder show to see what trends. And there's going to be somebody there that's going to have something funky that someone wants to do. And so I think it's important just to be on top of it. But I think it also is a really, really important. We're actually downstairs meeting with a client right now. And what matters is what the homeowner wants, right? So we can give advice and tell you what the latest and greatest is. But at the end of the day, it's your home. And we want to make it your home. And so whatever that is and whatever that looks like to you is what we want to do and how we want to build it and dream it. However you dream it is what we're going to do. So whether it's a black house, a white house, a purple house, or everything in between, that's what we're here to just help and design it and get you your dream home.
You know, the great thing, too, is that there's so many great financing options, too. If people are in a bind or they just, you know, they think, you know, I've got to find a way to, you know, get this done or, you know, I'm not ready financially for it. I mean, you've got no interest, no payments. You got a bunch of options available for people.
Yeah, I mean, you got the 6 and 12 month no-nos, so no payments, no interest. So literally you don't pay a penny or pay any interest at all for 6 or 12 months. So those are really good if you're waiting for a tax return or if you're waiting for another type of financing to come in and you don't want to wait for it. Those are awesome, and they literally cost you nothing. But then we can also finance a project for 5-10 years, too. I mean, we can do whatever you want as a consumer. But yeah, we're here to help you and to bridge that financing because, you know, look, some of it might just be, hey, here's a credit card and it's $1,000 and we're done. But it could be a $50,000 job. Well, not too many people have 50 grand laying around in their couch. Oh, Hans does it.
No,
he has them in his rolls. We've seen them before.
That's not true. Now, you, mom and dad, maybe.
Well, that's true. Right?
that was paid up front.
Well, and that's the thing, too. Like that generation, our parents' generation had that, you know, the money saved up in the mattress or the cans or whatever. But things are different nowadays, and financing is kind of the new norm. Our parents didn't do that. They didn't finance anything. They paid cash for everything, right? But today we don't. We finance things. And so that's, I'm not saying one's right or one's wrong, but we're here to just to help whatever it is. If you want to, we've literally had customers, and I'm not kidding you, handed us $10,000 in a cereal box before. They literally brought out the golden grams and there was 10 G's in the box. And that was how they had their money
wrapped
stored.
In rubber bands.
Like no joke. It was $10,000 bills or it was like a stack of money. And when they brought the cereal box, I thought they were joking, but hey, to each of his own. But bottom line, look, we're here just to help out. So, the thing we've talked about today is whether it's the siding or the gutters, whatever it is, we're here. But specifically today, we're really kind of pushing the gutters and the heat tape. You know, you've got all those, that ice, you've got those slips and falls. We just want to make it so you don't have any more ice that ice can, if you're seeing it, keep in mind your gutters are 4 inches deep. So if you're seeing ice, that means there's 4 inches of ice you're not seeing. And so, ice is very heavy, and it does a lot of damage to your gutters and a lot of damage to your fascia and your eaves and your roof and everything else. So if you're seeing ice, you've got issues. So we want to be here to help you prevent that so you don't have any costly mistakes and costs down the road.
801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110. RGS right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.